Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Hernandez. And Mrs. Hernandez and I worked together. She's a music coordinator for the Spanish department. And for about 2 years, I had the privilege of being able to hear her sing. So I saw her in the hallway, and I knew she was singing tonight. And I said, would you please sing in a language that I can understand? And she did tonight, and so I praise the Lord for that. I want to talk tonight on just two verses, but we're going to go some different places here in the Bible. Look, if you will, Romans chapter 12 again. Stay with me just for a moment as I set the foundation for the message. But these two verses in Romans chapter number 12 are what I call pivotal verses. They are the pivotal verses for the entire book of Romans. Why you say that, Brother Crutcher? Because in Romans chapters 1 through 11, we have Paul, and he's telling us where we were and what we have in Christ. And he's reminding us of all that Christ has done for us, all that Christ has given us. And so all the way from Romans chapter 1, all the way up to Romans chapter 11, he's reminding us of the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ and the blessings that God has given us and all the things he's done for us, like sanctification and the things that he's given us as far as salvation. And he's given us a eternity in heaven. Amen. And he's given us the blood of Jesus to cover and wash away all of our sins. And he spends 11 chapters in talking to the church of Rome, explaining, reminding them. And then he comes to chapter 12. And as he comes to chapter 12, he says, I beg you, I beseech you. And he uses one word here that pivots the whole thing. Therefore. Therefore, he says, because of all that that I just mentioned in Romans chapters 1 through 11, because of that, therefore, he said, you ought to present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice. Why? Because of everything that I said previously in Romans chapter 1 through 11. Therefore, because of all that, you ought to present. Then he goes on to tell us what we are to become in Christ. What we are to become in Christ. But it's at this point, these two verses, that I want to focus in on. Because it all hinges on this word, therefore. Therefore. That's the pivot. In other words, I've told you what you have and what God's given you. And I've told you about the mercies of God. Therefore, this is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. Well, what exactly does that mean, to reasonable service? Stay with me. Don't go away, because this is important. He spends the first 11 chapters reminding us of what God has done for us, and then he says, therefore, this is your reasonable service. You know, it used to be that you could get some reasonable service in America. I remember back when the gas stations were full service. Amen. You pulled up and you had two or three guys running out. They were checking the air pressure in your tires. They wanted to know if you wanted to check, want me to check the oil under the hood, fill it up with ethyl or fill it up with regular. Some of you are looking at me, what in the world is ethyl? But back then, there were full service gas stations and attendants that gave service. And I remember back a long time ago when people gave service with a smile. Amen. Service with a smile. And your waitress actually smiled when she came up to your table. Amen? Amen. What a blessing that was. And every occasionally you'll find somebody, and it's such a breath of fresh air to get service with a smile, is it not? Amen. Now, I went to Chick-fil-A today. Amen. And I went through the drive-through, and the people there were so nice, so kind. And as I drove, they took my order quickly, they filled my order quickly, and the lady that handed me my order smiled. I said, no, that's just reasonable service. You pay that money, and that's what you expect, right? You don't expect them to just throw here and throw it at you and grumble at you and bark at you and not even say thank you for coming. Amen? Your reasonable service. I want to talk just for a minute about your reasonable service, Christian. Your reasonable service. What God has asked you to do is not unreasonable. Let me say, first of all, realize that the request is not unreasonable. He said, after all I've done for you, after all these things and all that God has named, all God has done for you, Paul said, your reasonable service is to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart to God, is what holy is. It's set apart for God, set apart to God. He said, this is your reasonable service. But we, for some reason, we think, but you know, it's just so unreasonable. So unreasonable to ask me to give my all. Is it really? You're forgetting about a Savior who gave His all on the cross for you. You're forgetting about a Savior who was nailed to the cross. You're forgetting about a God who watched His only begotten Son who was crucified on the cross, who gave His all for you. And you're saying, what? You mean I have to sacrifice my desires and my wants and the life that I wanted to live for Christ? That's asking too much. Well, you don't have to do that to be saved, for sure. In order to get saved, you just have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Romans 10, 9 and 10. The book of Romans is chocked full of doctrine. We don't have time to spend all the doctrine that's in the book of Romans. That's where we get most people use the Romans road in order to lead people to Christ. It was the verses that I was memorizing out of the book of Romans and the Romans road that led me to Jesus Christ. And so as I was reading and I was memorizing, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. Amen. For the wages of sin are death, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then we come to Romans chapter 12. We say, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's far enough. I'll take the gift of salvation, but don't ask me to be a disciple. Don't ask me to give up my dreams for God. Don't ask me to give up what I want to do with my life for Jesus. Look at me. I'm telling you, listen to me. This is a pivotal verse in the whole thing. This reasonable service thing. In light of God's mercies, in light of all He's done for you, do you not think that it is reasonable for Him to ask you to present your bodies a living sacrifice? Holy and acceptable unto Him? Do you not think it's reasonable, since Jesus laid down His life for you, for Him to ask you to live for Him? He's not asking you to die for Him. He's asking you to live for Him. And that's your reasonable service. That reasonable service, He's saying that's the least you could do. When He says reasonable service, that's what He means. The least you could do. He's not asking you to do, God's saying, I'm not asking you to do something unreasonable here. Okay? I'm not asking you to do something that I feel is unreasonable. I'm asking you to do something that's just reasonable. It makes sense that you should offer your body a living sacrifice unto Him, holy and acceptable unto God. If we look at this, we have to come to the conclusion, and I hope you will, that these mercies in chapters 1 through 11, when Paul has been talking about over the last 11 chapters, they're the mercies of forgiveness of sins. They're the mercies of justification by faith, the mercies of peace with God, the mercies of union with Christ and freedom from sin and freedom from law, adoption as His sons and possession of the Holy Spirit, no separation from the love of Christ, the inclusion of the Gentiles. These requests are not unreasonable when He says, I've given you all this, now I'm just asking this. not to be saved and go to heaven, but just out of your pure gratitude for what I've given you, here's what I'm asking you to do. Here's a mom and dad on their knees, newly married, praying and begging God for a little baby boy or a little baby girl. They're asking the Lord to bless them and build their family, and then they find out that mom is with child. They begin to prepare a place for that child. By the way, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
And John 14:6 tells us that. That where he is, there we may be also. They're preparing a room for this baby. The time comes for the mother to deliver the baby. The baby comes, and it's a healthy baby. And that's what dad's been praying for. And it's a little baby boy. And they take that baby, and they sit together, and they look, and they say, this baby's perfect. Now, that doesn't mean it's not without sin. It means that it has 10 toes and 10 fingers and one nose and two ears, and it has everything that it should have in its proper place. Amen? So it is a perfect child. That child begins to grow. As that child gets older, mom and dad have supplied many things for the child. They've supplied love, and they've given it safety, and they give it attention, and they sacrifice for that child, and they give everything that they can to that child as far as the needs that are needed there. Sacrifice and their wants, some of their own wants, they put aside for that child because they love that child. And then one day they say, now, son, we want you to clean your room. And the child begins to get an attitude. The child begins to say, I don't want to clean my room, in his heart. He's going to say that to his parents. But he begins to get an attitude about rules. He begins to get an attitude about authority. He begins to get an attitude towards mom and dad. He begins to look at his mom and dad as though they are the enemy. An immature child, are you listening to me? An immature child gripes and complains and considers the request unreasonable. How dare they ask me to mow the lawn? How dare they ask me to clean the garage? How dare they ask me to wash the dishes? Come on now. How dare they ask me to take the trash out? This is an immature child that's complaining about others. And he's forgetting all the things that mom and dad have done for him and all the things that they have, all the sacrifice they've made in Romans 1 through 11. And let me tell you something, they are not grateful. An immature person's ungrateful for all the things that God has done in their life. An immature Christian is like that immature child. He's saying, listen, I don't want to even consider all the effort and all the sacrifice that's been put into me standing here and being saved tonight and on my way to heaven and all the things that God's done for me to lead me to this point. And so when the preacher gets up and starts preaching about you need to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, they begin to be an immature child about it and say, how dare he tell me that I have to be at church? The Bible says that. That's why. You want to thrive? You want to grow? Be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Be here when there's preaching of the Word of God. And let me tell you something. You will grow in the Lord because the preacher is going to stand up behind this pulpit and he's going to counsel from behind this pulpit. From the Word of God. Oh, Brother Crutcher. I understand all the things that God has done for me. Well, then understand this. Number two, Christian maturity begins with a thankful heart. Christian maturity begins with a thankful heart. And one of these days, that teenager is going to grow up and he's going to be thankful for those parents he had when he matures. He's not going to throw a fit in the grocery store like a 3-year-old kicking on the ground for a candy bar. But there are a lot of Christians that are doing that when the preacher says you ought to come out soul winning. Have you not considered all that God's done for you? Have you not considered that it's not an unreasonable service for you to lay down your life for Christ? Well, I had plans on Saturday. Well, I had plans on Thursday night. Well, I had plans. Well, while you fulfill your plans, people are going to die and go to hell because you're not fulfilling your obligation as a Christian. And I'm sorry, but it's not unreasonable for God to ask you to tell people about Jesus. After all, He saved you. And if it wasn't for Jesus, none of us would be here tonight. So it's not, but we look at it as an unreasonable thing. Christian maturity begins with a thankful heart. Turn in your Bibles, Colossians chapter number 3, if you will. Colossians chapter number 3 in your Bible, just for a moment. I won't take you to too many places in the Bible tonight for sake of time, but I do want you to see this. Colossians chapter 3. I said Christian maturity begins with a thankful heart. Colossians 3, look at verse number 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. And be ye what? Thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let me tell you what's going to help your life and what's going to help you as far as dealing with the fundamentals of the faith, the fundamental things that we're supposed to do for God, and doing those things without grumbling, without complaining, which is your reasonable service. Develop a thankful heart. Have you ever stopped to think about all that God's done for you? Have you ever stopped to think all that God has done for you? You ever stop and just think for just a moment about how you could be on your way to hell right now? If it were not for the grace of God, you could be a drug addict, a drunkard. You could be dead. But God has seen fit to give you breath today and allow your heart to beat one more day and to live. And to live. But He said, I don't just want you to exist. I don't want you to just live. I want you to live a victorious life. I want you to live an abundant life. I want you to live a joyful life. I want you to have a smile on your face. I want you to have a song in your heart. I want you to sing with psalms and hymns, and I want you to be happy. But the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you count your blessings and name them one by one, and you'll be surprised what the Lord has done. And let me tell you something. If you spend all of your time grumbling and griping about doing the things that God wants you to do, you're not going to be happy. And you're going to say, that's just unreasonable. It's unreasonable. Christian maturity. It's the childish Christian that complains. It's a childish Christian that grumbles. It's a childish Christian that says, you know, I don't think that's important, you know, all that prayer stuff. All that prayer stuff, that's not important. That Bible reading stuff, yeah. I can skip it. Tithing? Giving? You know, the Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. Not a complaining giver. You may not say it on the outside, but on the inside, every time you put something in the offering plate, let me ask you a question. What's your heart saying? What's your heart saying when you place something in the offering plate? Or do you just let it pass by? Say, Lord, don't let me touch that thing. It's like kryptonite to some Christians. Well, the offering plate. Oh, Lord, please don't let it come down my aisle. God wants you to pay your tithe. And then after you pay your tithe, he says, give some offerings. Amen. And it wouldn't be a burden if your mind said to your heart, listen, I'm thankful for all that God's given me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me that job. Thank you, Lord, for giving me that overtime. Lord, thank you for giving me all that you've given me. Lord, thank you for giving me a dollar in my pocket that I can put in the offering plate. That's a thankful heart. And God loves that. Because he said, isn't that your reasonable service? I mean, after all I've done for you, you're going to gripe about giving a dollar? After all I've done for you, the parents said, you're going to gripe about having to pick up your room? After all I've done for you, you're going to gripe about having to wash a dish and put it in the dishwasher? And you ate off of it. After all I've done for you, you're going to tell me that you don't want to be have enough character to rinse the milk out of the bottom of your glass, and now I got to spend an hour trying to reach it with a wash rag because you're too lazy to rinse it off and put it in the dishwasher. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Ungrateful, unthankful. You know what we call little children when they're like that? Spoiled, I'll let you fill in the rest. Because they've been given everything and they appreciate nothing. Hey, Christian, are you spoiled? You've been given everything, but you appreciate nothing? How do you show your appreciation to the Lord? Avoiding the offering plate. Number one, I said, realize that your request, his request is not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable. The least I can do for my Savior is give him all I got and all I am. I'm not much, but I'm all yours, Lord. Here am I. Here I am. I'm all yours. Every bit of me. Lock, stock, and barrel. Here I am. Now, I don't know what you want to do with this old lump of clay, but you can mold it into whatever you want. But I'm yielded. Use me however you want to use me. Because your son's blood paid for me. And I'm yours. Does God have all of you? Does the Lord have all of you? Can you say that to the Lord? Say, oh, Brother Crutcher, I'm scared if I say that, he'll put me on the mission field. That's okay. I'd rather be on the mission field with God than here in America without him. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Yeah. Number three, your reasonable service means, get this, ready? It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Say, should I go to church? You know, it never was a question in our house. Micah, if you were my son, you would never have to ask, Dad, are we going to church? You just knew it's Wednesday, we're going to church. You just knew it's Sunday, we're going to church. You knew it's Sunday night, we're going to church. You just knew they're having an activity, we're going to church. You just knew if the door was going to squeak, we were going to church. Yeah. Why? It's the right thing to do. Yeah. It's the right thing to do. I want to raise my family in church. I want to raise my family around God's people. I want to raise my family hearing the preaching of the Word of God like we have from our pastor that shoots us straight across the pulpit and doesn't even consider if he's going to step on your toes. Matter of fact, he'd probably step on your toes on purpose. I want that kind of preaching.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring my children to church. I'm going to bring my grandchildren to church. I want people to, I want my grandchildren to grow up and say, hey, Papa's still at it. He's still preaching. He's still believing. He's still walking with God.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Prayer?
Prayer is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Prayer is the right thing to do. God said, pray. He said, rise up early in the morning. Jesus rose up early in the morning and prayed. Did you pray this morning? It's the right thing to do, people. It's not unreasonable for God to ask you to pray. He said, I gave you the breath that you have. He said, praise me. He said, I gave you the breath that you have. He said, talk to me and ask me. You have not because you ask not. But then you gripe because you don't have. He spoke to my heart and he said, Brother Crutcher. He didn't say Brother Crutcher. He said, Don. God can call me Don. Don't you try, brother. He said, pray. Pray. If you're yielded, he said, I'm not asking you to do something that's unreasonable. I'm not asking you to spend hours on your face. But I am asking you to pray. I'm commanding you to pray. It's not unreasonable for God to say pray. Why do we act like that's such an unreasonable thing? How about reading your Bible? These are the fundamentals of the faith, folks.
Right.
Reading your Bible, God says, I want you to read your Bible. I want you to get your face in the book and out of Facebook.
Amen. Help us now.
Read your Bible. And when it comes to reading your Bible, study your Bible. Meditate on some verses. Memorize some verses. Get a good hold on the Word of God. You see, for God to speak to me, I've got to open the book and I've got to let the Scriptures sink into my heart and allow the Holy Spirit to work on me. I'm looking for God to speak to me, not through an audible voice, but through His words that He's given me already. Lord, speak to my heart. Show me. This is your perfect law of liberty. I look into this and I see a mirror of a sinner who needs some improvement. I get on my knees and pray so I can talk to Him. I get in my book and in the Bible and read so He can talk to me. And we have a relationship. We have a relationship. A personal one. Just me and Him. Just me and Him. He said, I don't think it's unreasonable since I've done all this for you that you have a personal relationship with me. I'm not asking too much. I'm just asking you to have a personal relationship with me. Oh, what about tithing? I've given you 100% of everything you've got. I don't think it's unreasonable for me to ask you for 10% back. I'm not asking you for 20 or 30 or 40. I'm not asking you for half of your money. I'm just asking you for a tithe, the first fruits of your tithe, 10% of the gross income before you pay Uncle Sam comes to God. He said, pay me first. That's all I'm asking you to do. If you'll do that, I'll bless the other 90%. And I may even give you some tax deductions so you'll get a better return. So Uncle Sam doesn't get it all. I just want you to, it's not unreasonable. I think anybody would say, you know, 90-10 split's pretty reasonable. It sounds good to me. Especially when God says, go ahead, in Malachi 3, 8 through 10, He said, improve me wherewith I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing unto you that you may not be able to receive. It's going to be pressed down and shaken. Let me tell you something. He's telling me if I'll simply just look at this thing and say, with a heart of gratitude and with a thankful heart, then I won't get an attitude, a wrong type of attitude when it comes to giving. Whether it's of my time, whether it's my talent, whether it's my finances, I've got to look at it and say, you know what? That's not unreasonable. That's the least I could do. Least I could do. So tonight, let me ask you a question. By the way, Christians who consider this request to be unreasonable do so because they've let themselves be conformed to this world. And the verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. Why? If you're conformed to this world, you're going to consider the taking back of your life. The taking back of your life. I don't, you know, you shouldn't try to make change in the offering plate, my friend. Well, let's say I got a 20, but I only want to give 10. Let me just kind of, there we go. I do believe this. If you consider what Christ is asking you to do here in the Bible to be unreasonable, you've already conformed yourself to this world. You have already begun to mold yourself in the shape of this world. Let me tell you something. People who aren't saved, they're not sold out to Christ, lock, stock, and barrel, they ain't going to come to church on Wednesday night. They're not going to come to church on Sunday night. They may show up on Sunday morning if it's Father's Day, Easter, or somebody died. Wouldn't it be terrible if the last time somebody saw you in church that 8 pallbearers were carrying you? So a group of guys out here standing around in a circle, they're standing around. I said, you guys look like pallbearers. They're all standing around in a circle. So where's the casket? We shouldn't complain about giving. I said we shouldn't complain about giving. We shouldn't complain. It shows our immaturity as Christians. We shouldn't complain about soul winning. It shows our immaturity as Christians. Just like when your son complains about having to clean his room after all you've given him, after all you've done for him, after all that you've given to for your children, when they complain and they gripe, it's immaturity. They need to grow up. And let me tell you something. What we need to do as Christians is realize this is not unreasonable. What God is asking for me to give my all is not unreasonable. For me to give my life to him is not unreasonable. It's the least I could do. It's the least I could do. It should be, you know, it's really my pleasure. It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. I really do get a pleasure out of reading my Bible. I really do get pleasure out of praying. I really do find pleasure when I'm out soul winning, telling people about Jesus. I find pleasure when I'm able to give more to God because God's given me more to give. I find pleasure in seeing that people got saved because I took time to put a track somewhere or I took time to hand a track out somewhere. I find pleasure in all of those things. I find pleasure coming to church. I love church. I look forward to Wednesday nights. I look forward to Sunday mornings. I look forward to Sunday night. I look forward to church events. I'm looking forward to dodgeball Sunday night. Amen? My wife got hit in the head by dodgeball. I said, I was in the snack shack. I missed it. I would have laughed for hours if I'd have saw it. Did anybody get it on video? That's what I want to know. I want to see that. She said my glasses went flying. I said, that's even funnier. Hey, the love of Christ ought to constrain us. No one should have to talk you into doing the right thing. Amen. You do it because God said so. It's the right thing to do. That's why you do it. Well, I'm only going to do it because other people are doing it. Then you'll stop doing it when other people stop doing it. You do it because it's the right thing to do. Whatever happened to Christian integrity? What happened to doing what God said and doing the right thing because God said it, not because somebody else is doing it or not doing it? I don't want my Christianity to hinge on your coattail. I don't want my obedience to hinge on your coattail. Listen, let me tell you something. If you've been sliding along, riding on the relationship that your husband has with the Lord, this is long enough. If you've been sliding along, riding on the relationship that your wife has, it's time that you developed your own prayer life. It's time that you got into the Bible yourself. It's time that you went out and told somebody about Jesus yourself. It's time that you started taking some of your money and giving it to God like you're supposed to. And it's time that you started living for God the way you're supposed to.
Amen.
I do believe this. Folks, listen to me. We teach our children that with every privilege, there's a responsibility. We teach our children that. I teach the children in our academy that. Yeah. With every privilege, there's a responsibility.
Yes, sir.
However, if we treat our position as an ambassador for Christ as though it's a prison sentence instead of a privilege, what are we showing our children? It's a privilege to have Jesus as my King.
Yes.
It's a privilege to represent the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.
Yes.
It's a privilege to go to the sinner and represent Jesus, and go to the saint and represent Jesus, and to stand behind a wooden desk and preach the Word of God. And I tell you what, teach the Bible in Sunday school. We need an old-fashioned dose of Christian integrity, and we need to learn what being a responsible ambassador is all about. And it's about being sold out to Christ, a lock, stock, and barrel. It's not unreasonable. It is the thing, the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Just do the right thing. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, the doing of right is in of itself a reward in itself. The doing of right is a reward in itself. We had college students in here. I used to have a college professor, and he would preach, and he'd say, listen, I shouldn't have to give you a balloon and a lollipop to stay in college. It's the right thing to do. No one should have to beg you to go on the bus route. Hello? No one should have to beg you to go pass out tracts. No one should have to beg you and plead with you and beseech you to the point of almost just becoming an annoyance in order to get you to do what's the right thing to do. Because you're a Christian, aren't you? Christian? Christian? Your reasonable service. These mercies of God. God loveth a cheerful giver. Have we condescended to a what's in it for me mentality of servanthood? Hello? Have we condescended to a what's in it for me mentality of servanthood? Instead of it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Whatever he decides to do with me, it's my pleasure to do it. It's my reasonable service. My reasonable service. Every head bowed, every eye closed.